You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for Halloween. And the Jazz defense is very, very scary. If you're an opponent, we'll break down what they did to the Mavericks last night. And Ricky Rubio's shooting is a little trick or treat. I don't know what that really means, but I thought I'd stay with the theme. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. You can get Locked On Jazz on your iTunes, on your Android player. You can get it on Alexa or Google Home, wherever it is that you want to hear the program, you can, and we bring it to you each and every day. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Jazz win last night with a defensive dismantling of the Dallas Mavericks. We'll dig into that for you, and the Jazz defense just continues to do this. It's going to be the story of the season. Also had some good offensive play against a not very good defensive team. I talked about that yesterday. We'll review that. Plus, we'll look at Rudy Gobert's role last night, some of what the Jazz did to the zone defense last night, Rodney Hood's performance last night. We'll do our regular analytics check. It's all on the regular program, as always, and it's brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, as well as the Advocates, Utah Advocates. So hope you're well. Thanks very much. Hope you have a great Halloween today. All right, let's do our regular start here and just kind of roll through the box score, and then we'll elaborate on it a little bit today. So the defensive ratings last night by the Utah Jazz, which of course, let's see, waiting for it to load back up. There we go. They, depending on, you know, it's interesting because I have used NBA stats for some stuff and I use this extension. Either was a 92.9 last night or a 94.8. Irrelevant. Again, just to kind of get you used to these numbers, 106.5 is the league average. Anything over 110 offensively is great. Anything below 102, so just kind of if you go 3.5 points either way, 103 is great. Last year, the Jazz defensive rating was a 102.7, I think, which was third best in the NBA. Spurs were at 100, which is the best in the NBA, and the Jazz last night had Dallas at 94.8. I mean, that's just an incredible, incredible number. And the Jazz defensive rating last night when Rudy Gobert was on the floor was 81. 81. The offensive rating was great, too, 151.9. But the Jazz defense last night, and they've done this in every game. At some point in every game, they just put the clamps down and stifle the opponent to a point where it looks like it's impossible for them to score. They did it twice in the second half last night. Once where it was a 7-minute stretch in the second quarter where I think Dallas had 4 points, and a 7-minute stretch in the fourth quarter where I think they had 6 points. And that's where you just have to be good enough offensively. The Jazz were very good offensively last night. That's why they won by 15. And even moreover, they were down by 14 at one point, so they swung the game 29 points last night. The offensive rating last night was a 111, so that would be up there with the best in the league last season. And what I talked about yesterday was I wanted to see what the Jazz did offensively against a bad team. And what I meant by that was, if you looked back what the Jazz had done so far this year, their numbers were kind of close to what, against the bad teams, the Jazz offense was somewhat in the range of kind of the average that that team allows. And so then you're an average offense, which would be fine for us, frankly. I don't think we can set a standard higher than that. But you did kind of, you hope a little bit that against some of the lesser teams that the Jazz offense can get rolling. So against Denver, the Jazz did exactly that. They had a pretty good night. They had a 117 offensive rating, which is much better than Denver. Against Minnesota, who's not a very good defensive team, was allowing 113 points per 100 possession. The Jazz were only at 100. against the Thunder. The Jazz had a really nice offensive night. The Thunder are actually turning out to be pretty darn good defensively. And then, oh wait, I'm sorry. I was just looking. The notes I had had just the third quarter. So I was wondering why they were a little screwy, but so that's not exactly right. Let me see if I can. Let me see if I can rectify that. I've built this massive, awesome Excel spreadsheet where I actually never have to go on the kind of the web anymore. I'm able to just run all the numbers myself, but it just means sometimes the last thing I ran is relevant as well. So, all right, let me fix that. So if you kind of look against Denver, who the Jazz were at 109, which is a little bit better against Minnesota, the Jazz offense, as we said, was 100. They're allowing 113. Against the Thunder, the Jazz offense was 100. And Oklahoma City's only allowing 96. Against the Clippers, who had been great until last night when they ran into the Jazz were 89, they allow 101. Against Phoenix, who's not very good, the Jazz were tired and terrible. Against the Lakers, this is kind of what tipped me off, is the Jazz offense was a 102.4 in that win. And you look at the Lakers and they've actually only been allowing 100.9. So we're actually so far in a bunch of games performing offensively better than what these guys are allowing. And that's kind of what I'm watching. Last night against Dallas, who is allowing about 110 for the season, and that's right where the Jazz were. The Jazz, again, depending on whose metrics you use, which is the screwy thing with all of this, the Jazz offensive rating was right about exactly where Dallas usually allows. So we hit the average, which is fine for us. Again, you'd probably like to be a little better than that, but maybe not. I mean, if Dallas is allowing 110 and you put up 110 rating, that means you're 15th in the league. And if we're 15th in the league offensively, we're going to win an awful lot of games this year. So that's a pretty, you know, there's some good signs in there. If you take out the Phoenix game that we're kind of playing, we're supposed to. If you look at what we've done so far this year, by the way, we're absolutely right on pace of games we should have won and shouldn't have. And now this is this next stretch where you've got to keep kind of notching some victories at home and some tough tasks the next two nights between Portland and Toronto. The turnover rate last night, instead of being at 20%, was down to 14%. So 13.9, best of the season. The Jazz had 17% of possessions. Dallas had, the Jazz had a steal. The Jazz had 16 steals last night. 4 by Rubio, 3 by Ingles, 2 by Gobert, 2 by Udo, 2 by Mitchell. Cephalosha had one, and he forces so many others. Jazz had a steal rate of 17% last night. Just incredible. The tracking numbers are not out today for some reason, but the shot charts are, so we can... we can look at the shot charts and they tell a story. Dallas just was so uncomfortable around the basket last night. And I think in many ways that's where these turnovers came from, is they penetrated in the lane, ran into Rudy Gobert, and then just wanted to get rid of the ball. In the restricted area last night, they were 7 of 19 shooting. 7 of 19. They got 5 corner threes out the whole night. We talked about it yesterday that they're one of the top corner three teams. The Jazz defense just didn't allow it. They did hit 10 of 19 above the break threes. And that's what kept them in the game early. 7 of 19 around the basket, though. That is incredible. Don't have how many uncontested shots the Jazz got. I think they got a lot there. Quinn Snyder's game plan against the zone was just terrific. They knew exactly what they were trying to get, and they got it. The Jazz took 8 corner three shots last night. They only took 12 shots at the rim all night. They hit 12 of 27 on the above the break three, which is a bit high. 44% league average is 36. So, you know, Jazz had a make night last night. But they get their 8 corner threes. And Rubio is nailing the corner three. Gobert's defense last night was just terrific. And the combination of Derek and Rudy continues to be terrific. Looking at just what the Jazz have been with them on the floor. So the defensive rating right now in 7 games with them is a 92.4 with the two of them on the floor together. The offensive rating is a 99.2, which isn't good, but it's putting them at a plus 6.8 because the defense is so darn good. Here's the defensive rating the last two games in the 40 minutes in which they were on the floor. The defensive rating for the Lakers and Dallas with Favors and Gobert on the floor is a 71.7. A 71.7. That is really hard to understand. In the 40 minutes that Favors and Gobert played together, the Jazz have outscored their opponents by 40 points in the last two games. We'll see how this lasts all year. This is kind of the question of whether this really works. But they outscored them 44-23 last night and 51-32 the night before. And, you know, it's interesting. Zach Lowe, just I'm reading this, just tweet out, the Pelicans are plus 44 in the 147 minutes with both bigs on the floor and minus 53 in the 189 other minutes. The Jazz are plus 20 in the 146 minutes. Both bigs are on the floor. Plus 20 in the 146 minutes. Both bigs are on the floor. I don't know what they are for the year. Let me see if I have it. It'll take a minute to find that. But Zach Lowe just tweeted that, and it's interesting that the Jazz, and I'll tweet on top of him for in a minute when we're done with the show, but it's interesting that they are almost the exact same. So the Jazz for the season are plus 18. So the Jazz are plus 20 with Favors and Gobert on the floor in 156 minutes, minus 2 in the that's real math, 190 minutes in which they're off. So almost the exact same, right? Because the Pelicans, it's interesting. So Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins spent 147 minutes on the floor. Favors and Gobert spent 146. So, and nobody's gone to overtime, so they're within 1 minute of each. The Jazz are minus 2 in the minutes in which they're off the floor. They're plus 20 in the minutes where they're on the floor. Two bigs, baby. Revolutionizing the NBA. Lack of spacing. Play slow. Get rid of spacing. Everything the opposite of what we've heard for the last year. I have no idea if that's true. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. That's Blake and the guys over at 4646 South State Street. Murdoch Hyundai, final day of October. I don't know what he's got up his sleeve for November for you. Halloween trick-or-treating, go do it over at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Why Murdoch? Well, because the family is going to make sure that you have the experience that, as they call it, no regrets. What does no regrets mean? That means that you are happy and pleased that you dealt with the Murdoch family. You feel like you were touched by the Murdoch family. And you get an experience that shows you that they care. In other words, what are all the little things that they can do? Extended service hours, free car washes, oil changes, all of those things that are part of the Murdoch experience. Then when you're dealing with Hyundai, you get the 100,000-mile Hyundai assurance, so you know you're getting great quality. And then what you get for the price is just remarkable. That's what's jumped out to me as I've driven the Santa Fe, the Tucson. Now I'm driving their hybrid Ioniq. And what have I found out is that the dollar value you get for a Hyundai is just remarkable. High-quality car, unbelievably good pricing, and then the service of the Murdochs. Go say hi to Blake when you're there at 4646 South State Street, or take the time and say hi to Dane as well. But make sure you tell Blake that you're there. Blake and I recorded like a little phone conversation the other day that I don't know if they're running on the radio stations, but we might run here so Blake can become a part of the show. All right, let's roll through some other items on the show today. Since we've done the analytics, Rudy was just terrific. The other one that's worth talking about with Rudy is the free throw shooting just continues to get better. He missed, I think, one or two late last night, missed two of his last four. I think it might have been out of fatigue. But he had a 6-by-4 last night where he had at least 6 points, rebounds, and assists. and blocks. Career high assists last night, 6. But the other aspect of it is his free throw shooting is at 72.4%. 29 free throws this year, 21 of 29. That's only because he missed 2 of his last 4. He's shooting 68.5% on the season. You know, he finished, I think, post-All-Star break last year with that incredible run of something like 71-71. And I said that wasn't possible to do again. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Last year, he finished 66-66 post-All-Star break. He shot 70%, averaged 17 points and 13 rebounds a game. For the season right now, he's averaging 14 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 3 blocks. 34 minutes a night. The entire defense of the other team focused on him. Absolutely focused to take him away. And Rodney Hood's third quarter was just incredible last night. Rodney cannot get going early in the game right now for whatever weird reason. The first quarter is just a bugaboo. And then he was just great. I mean, crazy great. Dominated the game in the third quarter last night. And his third quarter numbers are incredible. The question now has to be, is like, how do you get him to get going all the time, right? That's clearly the next step of what you want from him is can you find a way to get his performance to be more consistent night in and night out and throughout the game. I said this on postcast last night. If he's going to average 18 points a game, you don't want a guy who's putting up 25 one night and then putting up 13 the next, or it'd be 14, whatever, because you lose the second night. And so that's the next step for Rodney. We've talked about a lot with his bell curve and not going the free throw line makes it hard. But boy, did he roll last night. And his season is becoming pretty impressive. But it's interesting, I just stopped and paused because the player splits no longer include quarter-by-quarter numbers. I have to do it myself, which I have, and I can pull up. It'll just take me a second. But his first quarters, I was trying to update it, have been not particularly strong, right? So, what you're trying to get done for Rodney is how do you get Rodney in the first quarter of games coming into last night had 5 points, and then he got in foul trouble and lasted 3 minutes before he went out. So he has scored 5 first quarter points in the 4 or 5 games he's played this year. I think in first quarters he's played this year. He's 2 of 7 shooting with 5 points, 1 of 5 from 3. And then you get to his third quarters, which is weird because this is the same group of players, the same guy on the floor, probably against the same defender. And he's brilliant. He's got 22 points. He's 7 of 12 from the field and 6 of 8 from 3 in 5 third quarters. So how do you channel that? But if you can get that, you're fine. Don't know where that's coming from. There we go. Do now. And if you can continue to get that from Rodney, you're pleased. Ricky Rubio, last year in the second half of the season, coming off the death of his mom, the Chris Dunn talk, kind of sent everything to the wind last year in the second half of the season, averaged 16 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists. He shot 42% from the field and 35% from 3 and 92% from the line. Thus far this year, through 7 games, Ricky Rubio is shooting 43% from the field and 35% from 3. Exact same. He's averaging 16 points a game. Oh, wait, that's exactly what he averaged. He's averaging 7 assists instead of 11. He's turning it over 4.5 times. So post All-Star break, Ricky Rubio is suddenly showing himself here. Let's take some. Let's let it play out a little bit more. We got some more time here, but he plays with such a remarkable passion and energy. And I brought this up on postcast as well last night, but Rick Carlisle had a really interesting comment after the game in which he talked about how difficult it is to force him to switch because he gets his hands on so many balls. He is able to deflect so many things. And what it is when he gets a bigger guy on him, even the bigger guy doesn't get a rhythm in the post to try to take advantage of him. And that's where it's very impressive what he's able to do defensively. And the Jazz defense is just great. It's just crazy great. And if it keeps up, they beat these lesser teams, that's how you win games. Defensive rating, anything under 100 is incredible. Last year, as I said, the Jazz, I think, were a 102.7. Does that sound right to you? This year, the Jazz have been under 102.7 defensive rating in 6 of the 7 games. The Jazz defensive rating for the season right now is a 96.9. They have held the Nuggets. Let's play the reverse side of what we did earlier. And then I want to walk around the league for a second. Denver's offensive rating for the season is a 103.7. They got a 98.7 against the Jazz. I'm doing something here. That's a 5. Minnesota had a 101.6. They're a 107.2 against the Jazz. Doing some quick math, that is a 5.6. Oklahoma City, whose offensive rating for the season is a 104.8 at a 91.2 against the Jazz. So that's 13.6 better than their average. And the Clippers, whose offensive rating is a 107 at a 108.2 against the Jazz. That's the one team that got the Jazz, so minus 1.2 for the Jazz. Phoenix, whose offensive rating for the season is a 97, had a 97 against the Jazz. The Lakers, whose offensive rating for the season is a 94.6, had an 88.2. That's another 6.4. And Dallas, whose offensive rating is a 100, had a 92.9. That's a 7.1. The Jazz are holding teams on average to 6 or 7 points below their average. League average last year, offensively, if you just take the median, was about a 106.5. That gets you to 100. That gets you to the best defense in the NBA. For the best defense in the NBA, and we're holding opponents to 6 points under their average points per 100 possession, our offense just does not have to be that good. And what's interesting that we did earlier in this show is we showed that the offense has actually been better than we realized. Might have to write that up today at LockedOnJazz.net. Today's show is also brought to you by the Advocates. This was a really interesting meeting I had. I went and sat down with the Advocates. They're out of a cute house right kind of below the avenues, and met with Matt. And it was interesting. Matt opened up the meeting by saying, you know, talking about being a personal injury attorney and the stigma around it. There was kind of this embarrassment to it. And then he finally said, you know, I've gotten used to this, and I'm no longer my wife finally told me we're helping people. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. And then the pride that you saw out of him when he started talking about the business. And what the pride for him is that after 25 years, the Advocates have figured out a system by which to make sure that they can map out your best experience, get you the best results, make sure nothing bad happens, and then his real pride comes out of treating you well in the process. I was most impressed by the system they've built. And talking to him, it sounds like an airplane checklist. And it almost sounds impersonal. But his point is that accidents are all different. Individuals are all different. We're going to treat each accident individual differently, but the process is the same. I still have people in my office that have to go get the medical reports. They have to go get the dealing with the insurance companies. They have to go get these items. They have to deal with employees. All of these items are dealt with in 100 whatever steps in every single one of these cases and have to be dealt with the same. And so he puts experts on the field of each of those, allowing the attorney to spend more time with you, allowing for better communication with you, allowing for a more productive, efficient process, and to expedite the process as well. So have experts at the task inside the process that he's figured out. The advocates find a way to kind of productively break down the system the way the Jazz defensively kind of break down a play of like, let's take this away, take this away. They're going to, all right, we're going to get this done, this done, this done, this done. And that's what the signature to who the advocates are. UtahAdvocates.com. If you unfortunately are in a circumstance in which you need them, make sure you reach out and let them help you out. As I said, all accidents are different, but the process is the same and they have mastered that. All right. Touched on the analytics, touched on Gobert, touched on favorites, touched on Rubio's defense. Interesting last night. One thing I think we forget sometimes is game plan. Defensively, I had a lot of fun with it last night. Quinn was talking about, hey, we got to guard our yard and not end up in the blender. And they did end up in the blender. And Donovan Mitchell was leaking too far off J.J. Barea, and they got abused by it. And it was kind of interesting to watch. Other aspect was how well the Jazz prepared for the zone defense of Dallas. Dallas does unique stuff. They come out in that zone. Nobody else does that. And it makes it a little tough. And I thought the Jazz did a nice job being prepared to handle that last night. And were able to react and have an understanding. It's really kind of the signature of Quinn. And it's so interesting if you at practice, and I can't reveal too much, but the understanding Quinn has of each and every game of exactly what the opponent is going to do. I mean, there are moments in which he's sitting there saying things to the guys like, all right, well, this team will or won't foul, or this team, hey, if we're running an inbound play tied with 4 seconds left, this team doesn't foul. Or if we're down three, they won't foul. You'll be able to get the three. I mean, his level of knowledge of each and every team is pretty incredible and how he's able to do it. And I'm generally blown away by it, frankly, and really kind of awed by it every single night. And you see that in the zone preparation last night. And you see that in not freaking out as the game goes on when J.J. Barea is getting hot because of the fact that he knows that his game plan is right and they know the right thing to do and how to combat it. And to me, that's what was impressive. We haven't done a lot of national stuff, but I thought the scoreboard last night was really interesting. So Boston gets San Antonio, who's kind of wearing out with Kawhi Leonard. Minnesota gets another close win. Denver loses to New York. Denver's not figured this thing out yet. Millsap, 2 of 13. Jokic had a big night last night, but then Porzingis killed him. Millsap is shooting 41%, 31% from three to start the year. Be a little disconcerting. I'm not a thought for you, by the way, is that a lot of the veterans around the NBA are having a tough start. And it might be that their rhythm has been broken by the shortened training camp. The older players are having a battle, I think, to get ready. Joe Johnson's not been very good yet. David West's shooting's not great. Millsap's a longtime veteran. His shooting's not great. The rhythm of what these guys have done for all this time of getting ready each and every game is suddenly out of whack. And I think it's bothering them. Portland got beat by Toronto. I love Toronto, though. Toronto is the team I picked to be number one in the East this year. I love what they've done. I love their pickup of C.J. Miles. I love their bench. DeLon Wright's developing. Little surprise that they put it on. And they held Portland to 6 second-quarter points the other night. All right, wanted to check on those. That's 30 minutes in the book, a long one today. Locked On Jazz. We'll be back with you tomorrow for a Wednesday edition. I might write up that little offense-defense thing on Locked On Jazz today, so feel free to check that out. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, brought to you today by Murdoch Hyundai, as well as brought to you by The Advocates. Have a great day.